I mean, this is no Lenny Pierce, but it'll work.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift with Mike Bo. Exactly. Allie Mack and Dylan here, of course, at 7:03. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Before we get back into this conversation that we've been having today about Michael Penix and his ranking in the NFC South, I thought for sure someone today was going to come in like a little bit hungover or exhausted, spending the weekend out at Echo Park Speedway for the Quaker State 400. But everyone looks ready to tackle the week. I'm proud of us.
Are we?
Exhausted. Look at me. Yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's just.
The eyelids are starting to droop a little bit.
This is the magic of radio. This is one of those days where you're like, man, thank God I don't do TV. You know what I mean? Like, this would be so noticeable.
Yeah. This is one of those days where I'm glad I got 3 hours. That's it. No, I'm feeling it a little bit. I had so much fun down there. Like, absolute blast. One of the better.
I agree. Man, just incredible weekend.
I'm trying to like think about February and how much fun we had then, and then this time, and like which one ranks higher. And I don't really know where to scale. I think we might have had more food this time.
Yeah, we definitely. The grill literally never cooled off.
Oh, really?
Not once in 3 days was that grill actually, you know, cool.
My buddy was like, "Hey, can I? You got propane?" And I was like, "Yeah, we gotta hook up." He's like, "I'm bringing my Blackstone top," and he put it on the table. And we woke up Saturday morning, was like, "I woke up second," and he was up. He was like, "I'm ready to cook." I was like, "All right." So Gardner just cooked eggs, bacon, sausage. Hash browns. It was like bringing Waffle House to you.
You know when you're watching the post show after a Braves game and you're looking at like Peter Moylan and people waving in the background. You're like, look at those goobers.
I know where we're going here.
We got some goobers right here.
Yes. Yes, I was a goober. I was a goober because we talked to Larry Mack on Friday. He's part of the TNT broadcast. This is the first time they've had NASCAR on TNT in a long time. They did their very first post-race show. And it was Parker Kligerman, Jamie McMurray, and Shannon Spake. And I was just walking by, just happened to see the cameras come on, and nobody's around. And I was like, dude, I think I'm on TV.
Yeah.
So I just start waving my arms, holding a beer. I was like, yeah, just acting a fool. I was that guy. Yes, you're right. You're like, look at these. It always happens to me at the Hawks games, in the background of, like, you know, the Trevor Scales, you know, or like Carl Dukes, like in the background, people just yelling, doing stupid stuff. That was definitely me. So, yeah, apologize if anybody had to see that. I was acting a fool.
I think it was funny because we got separated, because I actually ran into someone from the Falcons organization and training that he had been at Kozlowski's box, and so I ran into him and I started talking. And I turned around and my group was gone. Like, they just left me, Allie. Mm. They just walked away from me, and so I just said, "Well, I'm going back to the camper because they needed some of the stuff out of my camper and I locked it," and sure enough. I get back and I'm like the only one there, and I'm like, where the hell are those guys? And I turn around and see a couple of guys straggling in, and I didn't see Mike for like maybe an hour.
Yeah,
and sure, they had been over there. Then I start sending they sent the picture of our group chat, and I was like, these dumb dumbs. Like, could you fanboy out more? Could you fanboy out more?
Well, if you guys had to rank this experience out at Echo Park Speedway, because we're going to talk about Nick Shook's ranking from NFL.com in a second. If you had to rank this experience versus other races, how was it?
It would be definitely higher than 30th, I can tell you that. And we'll get back into Michael. But no, this was – they've got to keep this race on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. It just was a complete – and I hate using this term like Dylan does. It was a complete vibe. Like the whole thing, complete, the fireworks, they had phones all light up at one point in the race, nice. And made it look really, really cool. It was a whole deal, man. Pre-race concert, all kinds of stuff that you can't really do on Sundays in June in the South.
Yeah.
And like daytime, Saturday night was a thing. It was very, very, very high up on my list, if not number one.
To take it a step further, it would be safe to say that you, Bo, and the rest of your crew caught a vibe down at Echo Park Speedway.
Is that how you term that?
You caught a vibe, yeah. I caught a vibe.
I don't know.
I would have never been able to say that. Yes. Okay, we caught a vibe.
I don't think I caught one. I put one out.
But hey, there you go. You can catch a vibe. You can put a vibe out. There's multiple things you can do with vibes.
Right, that's a good time to move on.
All right.
Good job, Squid Billy. I like that.
Let's move on to Nick Shook's article over on NFL.com. He was ranking quarterbacks by division. For the NFC South, the average quarterback ranking was 20.25. Okay, so with the Falcons, Michael Penix Jr., he had him at number 30. But in our division, that made him last. Tyler Shuck was third place, Bryce Young second, and Baker Mayfield was in first place for our division.
It's just such a dumb metric. Like, that's the issue that I keep coming back to with it. It's just, he explains it well, honestly. He's like, anybody who hasn't thrown a pass in the NFL, I'm going to rank him 29th because that's my average ranking for rookie quarterbacks going into the season. It's usually been 29th. He talked about it last year. Yeah, I rank Caleb Williams this and Bo Nix this. And like the average always comes out to 29, so I'm going to rank anybody who hasn't thrown a pass at 29. The problem is that all the other quarterbacks, he didn't rank starters. He ranked 1 through 59 for all the other quarterbacks because of the people who did throw passes the year before. So you've got, you got Tyler Shuck at 29 with a 29 ranking, and you've got like Joe Flacco at like 45. And it's like, okay, I get it. That's not great. Joe Flacco hasn't been elite, but he doesn't believe to be, you know, doesn't to be 16 spots lower than a guy who is a second round draft pick who's never thrown a ball. It's just like, it's just such a failed ranking and a flawed ranking. But, we can talk till we're blue in the face about where Michael Penix does match up. But the fact that you have Baker Mayfield at 6 and Bryce Young at 16, it's like, wow.
How is Bryce Young one spot behind C.J. Stroud? Riddle me that.
I don't know.
Now, that's where I start to get issues.
Ball knowers know.
I like Bryce Young. I've been a little bit of a Bryce Young defender in some ways. And he played very well last year from the last half of the season. But nothing has shown me in his 2 years that he deserves to only be one spot behind C.J. Stroud, a guy who's taken his team to the playoffs, a guy who's played phenomenal. Jordan Love is 10. He's got Lamar Jackson at number 1, and Joe Burrow is 3, which I think Burrow played phenomenally good. Josh Allen too, but Tua is 18 behind Bryce Young.
Here's the big one. How about this one? Baker Mayfield at 6, Patrick Mahomes at 7.
That makes
Patrick Mahomes at 7 behind Baker Mayfield.
Dude, that makes no sense. That makes
it's like, dude, what? What are we doing here?
Well,
Cousins at 25. To your point,
I mean,
that's why it's such a failed metric when you look at the way this guy tried to.
Do you think Sam Darnold? So you think Kyler Murray is 17 for real?
Well, and here's what I keep coming back to, and I'll ask both of y'all this. Like, if I was redoing the actual – I'm not going to sit here and redo the quarterback rankings, but if you're redoing the actual division rankings, I don't know that I don't land in a similar spot. But, you know, that's taking so many different things into account, and I just arrived there in a different way. You know, he's got obviously the AFC West being the number one ranked quarterback division with Mahomes, Geno Smith, Justin Herbert, and Bo Nix. I think all four of those guys extremely solid. But, you know, it's just interesting the way he kind of arrived at this decision.
Well, the NFC West, he's got the second best. I could make a strong – I think we could have a debate without some ball-knowing, dumbass thing that they've got done here where you could say the NFC East is better than the NFC West quarterback-wise.
Yeah.
Because, all right, who's the – listen to the NFC East. Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, and Russell Wilson. Now the West, Kyler Murray, Stafford, Purdy, Darnold. Who are you taking? Because I'm taking the East.
Well, I think that I've been a Dak Prescott defender much in the way that you have been with Bryce Young. I've been more on the Dak Prescott bandwagon than a lot of people have. And I know he's had his ups and downs. We look at what he was able to do 2 years ago. Obviously, the injury we saw up close and personal last year here. But 2 years ago, what he was able to do at the beginning part of the season, I thought he was incredible.
I'm with you on Dak.
He's had ups and downs, dude, but he's been phenomenal for the most part of his career when you look at what he's been tasked with doing and leading the Dallas Cowboys. I think he's primed to have a pretty good season.
All right. I would take Stafford and Purdy over Russ. But I'm not – am I taking Kyler Murray over Russell Wilson? I'm not – I mean, maybe, yeah. Sam Darnold, I don't know. I think those are all comparable players. So, but I look at the top three between Dak, Jaden, and Jalen, and I think that that's better than the top three that the NFC West throws out.
I'll be curious to see, too, what Sam Darnold's future is in Seattle. Like, what will that look like? Because, obviously, we talked about him last year – so many times as a guy who was going to break the bank in free agency. And then he had that 2-week stretch where it was awful. And then it's like, I don't know where he's going to go. And obviously he lands with the Seattle Seahawks and they feel good about having him. Geno Smith gets shipped to Las Vegas. They've done things differently. They fired Ryan Grubb, who was their offensive coordinator. He's now in Tuscaloosa, and I don't know what to think about Sam Darnold in the future. I feel like it was the offense that he was running in Minnesota, very, very, very quarterback-friendly to an extent, but he was doing good things most of the year. And now everything that was around him feels up in the air when you look at the Seattle Seahawks and what their future is. I don't know what to think about him.
I know. You want to say no, that you got to take what he did all year, but at the end of the day, the receiving core he had, and when teams started filling out a little bit of a formula of just put pressure, just come with constant pressure and don't let up. We tried it and we just couldn't get home as much as needed. But when teams got home and he was pressed, he made a lot of mistakes.
It also blows my mind that we could look at the fifth-ranked AFC North and include Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and now have Aaron Rodgers in that discussion and then be the fifth-ranked division in the NFL.
Well,
just simply because Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco are able to rank so low because, again, it's freaking ridiculous that you made a metric where you can rank 59 quarterbacks and nobody who's thrown a pass ranks 29 automatically. It's ridiculous.
Well, that actually brought the number up for the AFC North. The two rookies in Shador and
it would have, yeah.
And
it definitely
Randall.
Would have, yeah.
I mean, it
would have
brought it up. So I don't know. Not a lot makes sense on how he did this. I understand we need content in June, and he's given us content.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that comes to me is the audacity to put, well, a true ball knower would know. And
come on,
that's
Bo.
Where you lose me.
Come on, man.
Well, a true ball knower wouldn't make up some ridiculous formula to justify elevating a player who's been okay, who's been bad more times than not in his first 2 years of NFL play. And guys that have never even touched the field.
Before we go to break, and this will be something we'll cover here coming up probably in an hour, would you have Caleb Williams ranked ahead of Michael Penix right now? Just straight up, head up.
Ooh. I mean, not really. Not what I saw. I didn't see a lot of good from Caleb Williams.
There's a lot of good,
year.
A lot of bad. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
interesting.
Especially when you take into account, just real quick, the weapons that Caleb Williams had last year. I mean, he got his guy, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. I mean, he has some good weapons. Michael Penix obviously has good weapons too, but still.
Well, I never quite felt like Caleb Williams after his start the way I did Michael Penix after that start in Washington.
Caleb Williams, and what I view him as last year, makes me extremely happy that Michael Penix will have Kirk Cousins to watch tape with this year. That's all I'm going to say about that.
We can dissect this even more later in the show. We're also going to cover why Michael Penix was in Florida this weekend. Very cool moment. That's coming up at 7:40. And next, that must-win series between the Braves and Phillies didn't go our way. Another one-run loss yesterday. We're going to talk about it next with the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Allie Mack, and Dylan keeping us in line behind the glass. There's no way to sugarcoat this, guys. Braves had a rough go against the Phillies this weekend. They took 1-3, lost the series. Friday lost 13-0 after a rain delay. Saturday, Braves did win 6-1, and yesterday 2-1. Now, yes, awful weekend, but I always try to look for a silver lining.
That's why we love you.
Did Sean Murphy get right?
Maybe.
Did he work himself out?
He had another one yesterday.
Right.
Yeah.
First Grand Slam for the Braves for this season.
Yeah, I think they were like playing it up on the broadcast too, and then he goes yickety. You know, it's a hope because if you could get him and Drake going, and they're both kind of offensively hitting, maybe, speaking of giving guys days off, you could afford to give Ozuna from the Braves a day off here or there.
I see what you did there.
Because you got two guys that you really need to be in the lineup. It's taxing as a catcher. I think you're seeing the benefit of having both those guys on your roster. Now, they're not necessarily – Murphy's not still hitting to the level that you would like him to, but he's still got it, and he can still do it. I think the most disappointing thing for me is that Sean Murphy is the last guy to record an RBI on this team.
And I think that you're, I think you bring up a good point about Marcell Ozuna, because he's getting to the point where he's been so brutal the last, you know, couple weeks stretch, or really the entire month of June, where you look at him, you go, maybe he needs the Michael Harris treatment. Mm-hmm. I could use 2 or 3 days off for him, get the hip right, whatever else needed. It doesn't seem like you were allowed to do that before. But obviously, if Sean Murphy can hold up part of this offense and, you know, be in the DH spot for a couple of days, then that, you know, allows you some possibilities. I'm on the, you know, right now, after losing 2 or 3, and I told you guys Friday, I felt like it was a make or break series. And now after losing 2 or 3, I'm on the, hey, just throw it out there and see what happens. And I know that, you know, baseball fans, baseball managers, I snitpick all the time with Brian Snitker. I know that they don't like massive changes or overhauls or just saying, hey, see what can happen. But I just feel like that's where you're at with this Braves team, where how many times can you look at the sample size last year? And we kept saying, well, there's injuries. Well, this, you know, the sample size is big enough with some of these guys that this is over. We're more than halfway through the season. We got the All-Star break coming up in a couple weeks. And I'm not saying, hey, cut this guy, trade this guy, do all these things. But some huge lineup swings would be nice, especially given the ability to utilize Yerkes and Profar moving forward.
But where? Where's your...
Maybe you move Ronnie down?
No. Ronald Acuña Jr. is a leadoff.
Again, it's not freaking working.
It has worked when he is the best. They have moved him in other spots, and he's not as comfortable. That's not the problem. Now, it was this weekend because you had Matt hitting second, and Ronald didn't have a good series.
It is the problem when your 3, 4, and 5 hitters have been as anemic as the Braves have been this season.
But that's the thing is, well, first off, who are you counting that? Because everybody keeps telling me how bad Austin Riley is. He leads the team in batting average. I think he's one of the top two guys in on-base percentage on the team. Riley just hasn't – he hasn't stayed red hot. He's always been a streaky guy. I mean –
he's the number I had earlier, 250, he hit 255 in June.
Okay. Where's that stack with the rest of the
lineup? Matt Olson's more red hot than anybody. Marcell Ozuna and Ozzie Albies, though, being included in that is awful.
See that, but that's awful. The thing. You keep saying 3, 4, 5, but it's not just you don't have to pitch a 3, 4, 5. Because 6, 7, 8, 9 is a hole. I think that's the biggest problem for me. I know I don't disagree with some of that. I think when Profar comes back, he becomes your 2-hole hitter, and then you can automatically move Matt to 3 and Austin to 4, I think, and I would put Ozuna probably 5. But you still have a 240 hitter this month in Nick Allen, who's on base percentage, I think, was probably in the 320s, 330s, which is good. That's fine. I mean, that's good for him. But then, what is center field going to give me? What is second base giving me?
Well, and let me respond to your question, because, hey, we can't move Ronald down the lineup. It's not going to work. Then what are we supposed to do here, including myself as Braves fans? What are we supposed to do? Are we just supposed to continue to ride this wave and just say, it'll get better at some point? Because I think that's where that's the questions we all continue to have. Nope, can't move Ronald Acuña. Then where are we at, and what are we doing?
Well,
because there doesn't seem to be a plan moving forward. You're telling me we're just plugging Yerkes and Profar in and hoping that everybody just gets hot?
What I would do,
well,
again, there's not a lot you can do with so many holes in the lineup, but you got to figure something. I think Michael Harris should be in the 9-hole. That's the only time in his career he has really produced. And then Ronnie was good with him coming up, and if he'd get on base, if he was getting on base, I think Michael Harris was having to see pitches. I think it makes the lineup deeper. So I would put, I know I'm starting from the last spot, but I'd put Michael Harris at 9. I'd put Acuña leadoff. Now, where you go 2 through 5 is an interesting thing. I would actually put Profar there to start and then have Olson at 3rd.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Now, where I go next would be some form of Riley, depending on who's up there, who's playing that day. Maybe Baldwin 4 when he plays.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, then Riley 4. And then Ozuna 5. Unless Baldwin's at 4, and if Baldwin's at 4, I put Riley at 5, and that, so I would move Ozuna at some days even to 6th in the lineup, and then have
I'd be fine with Ozzie Albies being at 7. Like I'm over that.
Well, I think some days you could have Sean Murphy.
My point is that if you're going to slide everybody down and Profar being the 2-hole and slide everybody else down, I think the catchers, either one, deserve to jump where Ozzie Albies is at in the lineup. Then I'm fine with Albies hitting in the 7-hole and being what it is, getting whatever you can at a shortstop at 8, and then obviously whoever's playing center field probably at 9. If you don't want to move Ronald Acuña.
I know
that is a non-starter for Braves purists not to move Ronald Acuña, and that's where he prefers to hit. But I look at this and how bad the Braves have been at hitting this year with runners in scoring position, and it makes me want to bang my head on the wall.
That's all great, but if Ronald Acuña is coming up with Ozuna next and he's at 4, and I know Ozuna's not really seeing the ball well, and I know he doesn't have the power, I'm not pitching to Ronald. So it doesn't matter if he's coming up with guys on base.
Well, I would like to see Ronald. Do you flip maybe and have Matt Olson hit in front of Ronald Acuña in that instance?
No, because again, I want Ronald on the base paths. I can't speak. I want him on the bases when a guy like Matt Olson, who has been red hot, who's 7-for-21 in his last 5 games, is getting hits.
I agree. That's your best combination right now, and I just hate that they're at 1-2.
And that's what I'm trying to tell you is it doesn't matter if Ronald didn't have a good series. He didn't have a good 5-game stretch. Mm-hmm. They're 1-4 in that stretch.
So why not move both of them down in the lineup and have opportunities for more people to get on in front of them? If that's your two best hitters.
Because it's a spark plug to start the game with Ronald there. He produces.
I don't.
You want him getting.
I don't know why you're yelling. Discussion. You don't have to freak yell at me.
Want him getting the most at bats.
Yeah.
Who gets the most at bats?
That's fine. I'm just telling you, it ain't working. I'm tired of the, he wants to hit leadoff. You know what? Rafael Devers, he wanted to play third base in Boston.
But it's not that he doesn't want to. It's that he's the best player. He's an MVP caliber player at leadoff. Okay. You also need your best players getting the most opportunities to get on base.
He might be the only MVP right fielder in the history of the game to bat leadoff.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's
true. Both those guys, if you slid them down, put Profar ahead of them, put somebody else, put Eli White or Fairchild, whoever it is in the leadoff role, slide them down the lineup and give more opportunities for more players to be on base from Ronald Acuña and Matt Olson come up.
But they're not getting on base. The guys you just named, you just said Eli.
I said more opportunities.
But I don't need worst hitters getting more at bats. That's the last thing I need for this team.
How many more bats are we talking about over the course of a season?
For
Ronald Acuña as opposed to whoever's in the 3-hole.
All right, just the last 5 games. I don't know where Riley came up every time, but he had 6. He had 18. So Olson, over a 5-game stretch, got 3 more at-bats right there where that counted, not counting based on balls. So maybe I think he had 2. So he got 5 more at-bats over a 5-game stretch. That's important. When you have guys that are getting hits that
Matt Olson got how many more at bats?
5.
Then who?
Then Austin Riley.
Okay.
And Riley, I think, was hitting 4 some of that time. So that 3 and 4 in some of those. So that right there is in him. That means Ronald Acuña is getting at least 5 more at bats.
Just wait and see. We'll just wait and see.
It's not wait and see, Mike.
That's all I hear. But no, we can't change this. Might as well just keep riding the wave.
I'm perfectly.
Can't change
it. But see, that's the problem. That's why I get irritated, because you are basically saying, I'm saying don't change stuff. I'm not saying don't change things. I'm saying don't change the one guy. Don't change Ronald Acuña Jr. because Michael Harris sucks at his job every day at the
plate. Ronald Acuña is the key to the future of this baseball
team. And that's why he has to stay at the most important spot, which is that leadoff.
There
is not another player on this team that I trust to hit leadoff. Michael Harris should be 9.
No other team in this league is the leadoff hitter the most important player on the team.
That's not true. That's absolutely not true. I can go through there and find guys.
We'll do that then.
Okay,
yeah,
I will.
We gotta put a pin in this for now. It's all incredibly frustrating. They do have today off. Angels come to town tomorrow. Probable pitcher, Didier Fuentes. And we're going to talk about next. Michael Penix had quite the weekend down in Florida. We'll cover what he was up to. And we also have him mic'd up.
Yeah, this is going to be well-timed. I have a shout-out to give to a new member of Mike's Mafia. Don't want to miss that coming up on the other side of the break.
That is next with the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
7:42 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. Mike, Bo, Ali Mack, and Dylan. And this hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. and Michael Penix Jr.'s hometown of Dade City, Florida. This is a very cool honor. Before he gets to start this season, they named a street after him. Michael Penix Jr. Street.
Dude, that's like, that's next level.
Isn't it?
That, like, that is, there's some arrival there when you start getting streets named after you as, in your hometown, man. I'm trying to think, I was given a key to a city one time down in Pensacola, but never, like, anything permanent like that? Absolutely not, man.
Was it one of those big keys?
No, it was like kind of like a key that was kind of like glued to a plaque. So it was kind of, you know, I couldn't use it to open anything. But yeah, it was really cool. We did a Pensacola Sports Commission, whatever, dinner one night. And there's a lot of, like, really famous athletes from down there. Like, I think at the dinner just that night was Emmitt Smith, Don Sutton. I'm trying to think. There was probably 15 people there at the time that were really, really cool. And obviously I was active in the NFL still at that point. So everybody kind of got a key to the city that night. And I was like, oh, I got one of 15. Pretty cool. Really, really loving it. Graham Gano, who's a kicker at that point, and still is probably. He's from down there.
I think he's still playing.
Yeah. Buck Showalter, I think, was at that.
Oh, I was just going to ask because I've been to your house a couple of times, and I've seen, like, some of your, like, memorabilia, and I never saw a big-ass key on the wall.
There's levels to that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, that key definitely is probably in a box somewhere.
Graham Gano, still in the NFL, by the way.
Yeah, ding. And who's he with right now?
Can't ding yourself.
Is that in the rule?
Yeah, you got to wait to be dinged.
Okay. 744.
Do not ding yourself. Noted. He is with the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, there you go. So he's Graham Gano is my age, and I was actually roommates with him in a couple All-Star games that we played in, Cal Florida Bowl and things like that. Really, really nice dude. And he actually adds a tie in. They were, from what I was told, one of the reasons Alabama saw me play when they offered me was they were coming to scout Graham Gano. Who ended up winning the Lou Groza at Florida State. So there's a lot of cool things there. I have to go back and look at some of the pictures, but a lot of really famous athletes have been down there. But yeah, I don't, like, I'm trying to think. I know there's a park down there named after Buck Showalter. I'm sure there's probably a road named after Don Sutton.
What would you want named after yourself if you were given this kind of accolade?
I don't know. A road would be pretty cool.
Alley. That's what I would want.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, Google Maps would probably call it Ali Alley.
Yeah, it probably would.
That's what Siri
Bose
calls
Boulevard.
You.
Yeah.
I would need a little bit of a. I would need Ali's Alley.
Yeah. Ali's Alley.
Ali's Alley.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good name for, like, a bar.
You know what doesn't mean? It? Like there.
Bose Boulevard. Yeah. I like that too, Mike. That's a good.
Isn't
call.
That one of the things that? And I know that guys do this. I don't know if girls ever do this, but, like, you sit around, like, you always come up with just names for a bar. Like, if I owned a bar, it'd be called this. You know what I mean? You're like, Like, I always think of that in terms of, you know, the place that came out of Baton Rouge is expanding rapidly. I think they're putting one at the Battery. Walk-ons.
Okay,
have you ever guys ever been to a walk-ons?
I've been to a walk-ons in New Orleans.
Yeah, you're like, what a great name for a bar. Mm-hmm. Walk-ons Bistro. You're like, yes.
It doesn't the Mannings run that? Or is that the one the Mannings, or is that the one Drew Brees? Walk-ons might be the one that Drew Brees has.
Drew Brees
ownership.
Is bought in, yes. Yeah. And I know that one of my old buddies, John Parker Wilson's bought into the one in Birmingham, I think, a little bit. Yeah. They kind of include a little bit of local celebrity in each market that they're in, which is kind of cool. Yeah,
there's a couple bars in Nashville that I think they're expanding. The same owners are, they have Winners and Losers.
Yes.
I think that's such a great
yep.
little
that's
thing
right
you
next
got
to,
going on there.
That's on Demumbrian. That's not even on Broadway. I've been to those bars, and that's right next to Rebar, I think it's called, mm-hmm. where everything is made with literal rebar. And, like, and then they have the original Tin Roofs on Demumbrian as well, right there near all those bars. So, yeah, man, there's so many ways to go about that. I feel like that's one of those things that dudes just do sitting around. Where, you know how there's always the viral videos, Allie, where it's like, oh, you know, it's the woman and the thought bubble comes up from her head. He's probably thinking about cheating on me. He's thinking about, and the dude's like, man, what would I name the bar? What would I name the bar that I wanted to use? So it's that's always a fun conversation. You got one? I don't know.
No, I don't. I don't have. Right, cool. I would try to. I don't know what I would name my bar. Honestly, if I had one, it would probably just be some very sports related.
Bose Bistro and Bar.
No, no, I would never put a Bistro.
I got one for me. What's I probably that? Would go Dylan's Dugout.
Dylan's
that's
Dugout.
That's not bad.
Dylan's Dugout.
I got one for Bo, Melrose Place.
Oh,
that's
that.
Actually nice.
Yeah, you like that?
That's right
actually
there.
Really good.
You gotta, yeah, you go with it. You know what I mean?
That's actually Melrose really place. Good.
But then it would be hers, not mine.
No, man. A lot of people name things after their kids, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, or after their mom. You know what I mean? I don't know what your mom's name is. You don't have to throw out there live on air, but, you know.
No, I don't know what I would. I don't know.
Mine would be called Janet's Joint.
Spinach joint. Could do Susie Q's for Mama Mac.
Maybe he throws something in there with squids, something. Like, what are, I have to see what a squid's habitat is called.
The ocean?
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, what is it? You know, on Nemo, they're talking about what is habitat?
Like how,
anemone?
Yeah, exactly.
Anemone.
I don't know. I wasn't trying to be a jerk, but it's just the ocean. That's where.
Like how they said, like how Nemo stayed in the anemone or whatever it's called. You know, if there's a specific like thing, like how starfish stay on like the coral reefs or whatever, or like the coral part. You know, that's what I kind of meant.
Well, we got you.
Yeah, we definitely understood. And look, this goes along the lines that I've told you guys we're going to do this at some point in the month of July. We're going to come up with a playbook. We're gonna start writing a playbook, and we're gonna come up with names for plays, and you know names that you know, Lucky and Ricky, you know, we used to do Ricky and Lucy, were fun names for plays, and they're using you know cars or use galaxies or things like that. That's always a lot of fun, man. It's always a lot of fun. For right now, though, hey, let's go ahead and hit Mic'd Up. And just a reminder that today's Mic'd Up is brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's cafes. 13 Atlanta locations. Before we get to some extra special sound from a new member of Mike's Mafia, I do want to make sure we highlight all the people, Bo, that reached out to us over the weekend, that were at the race, that were trying to connect or see where we were set up. We did a broadcast on Saturday from 4 to 7. We were not set up at, like, the Midway, I think, where you would expect, like, radio stations to be set up or, like, you know, broadcasting live from under the tent out here next to the Jigs of the Drivers intros or anything like that. We were in our campers and RV all weekend, and that was where we set up stops. So some of the people that reached out to us, I know that you had an interaction with a young fan who's a up-and-coming driver who's a 14, 15, 16 years old?
Yeah, he's 14. Cameron, I believe the last name is pronounced Stewart. Him and his dad came by the RV, the hauler, the camper, whatever you want to call it. And I talked to them for a few minutes. They're both big listeners of the station, and he races in, is it Thursday Night Thunder?
Yeah, Thursday
Thunder. It's the Legends that they have at Atlanta Motor Speedway every Thursday, and he's in that. I think it was an interesting story. His dad was like, yeah, he was a baseball player. And we had him in travel ball, and he just said to me one day, I want to race, and I'd like to start racing and not. And he's on iRacing. That's where he kind of got figured out. He wanted, and so his dad put him a legend, and I was like, well, it's probably about the same price with travel ball these days. He's like, no, it's not. I was like, dang. But him and his dad are big fans of the show and radio station. It's just really cool because that kid is reaching out trying to get funding for his own team, and I have so much respect for how he's trying to do it and how his dad is helping teach him those life lessons of. You know, you got to make things happen on your own sometimes.
A real go-getter, if you will. Also had a couple people reach out on Twitter. I want to shout out to our buddy Dirty Birds on Twitter, who's trying to get up on Saturday with the lightning delay and everything else we had going on with the show. Wasn't able to ever come in contact with him. I know Cody Franklin was tweeting at us all weekend. We just had a bunch of people that were wondering where we were at the track and how they could interact and how they could meet up for a beer or whatever else. So really, really cool to have that interaction with a lot of you guys over the weekend. Wanted to make sure we gave that shout out. Part of the thing about what was awesome about the crew that Bo and I were with, we had a good mix of Bo's buddies, you know, that he's been friends with for a number of years, and mine as well. And so one of the cool things is everybody that we had with us all weekend, you know, sometimes people can kind of be a drag and kind of be a leech when it comes to situations like this. But everybody that we brought with us this weekend absolutely filled their role in. It was like, you know, I'm going to bring this. Hey, do you guys need anything? Hey, I'm stopping at the store before I get there. What can I bring? Charcoal, grill, meat, beer, ice, whatever else it may be. Well, one of Bo's buddies, Brent, stopped at Publix on the way. And he was outfitted with a Squid Nation shirt. And he ran in to a lovely woman named Pearl at Publix, I believe.
Miss Pearl. By the way.
Ding.
I have been messaging with since this unfortunate interaction, and she has some regret.
All right. Well, we'll give some rebuttal along the way. But Brent shows up, and he's wearing his Squid Nation shirt. I immediately take that as a shot at me. I'm like, yo, what's the deal, man? Like, you just roll up in here in your Squid Nation shirt. Bo's got a Squid Nation shirt on at that point.
Maybe it was laundry.
Gardner had one on
yeah, at that
right.
point.
Representing.
It was enterprise. Like, you know, where's your shirt?
Back.
You know, the mafia doesn't wear shirts. We're not going to make shirts. We're just, you know, it is what it is. You just become a mafia member.
You're just not innovative enough.
Well,
to.
It turns out that Miss Pearl from Publix gave Brent a little bit of flack about the T-shirt he was wearing.
And then Mike Where's Mike again?
Mike's Mafia.
Mike's Mafia. Mike's,
Mike's
Mafia.
Mike's Mafia, not Mike's Squid Mafia. Nation.
Right, Squid is going to kill me.
Oh my gosh.
You heard it here from Pearl at Publix.
They're
going to
talk about me.
Yes, we are going to talk about you, Miss Pearl. Aww. Shout out to Miss Pearl from Publix. She's been one of the newest members of Mike's Mafia.
That's
she
the Mafia.
That's the Mafia. You can approach her about it all you want to, but I think we all know deep down you can hear it in her voice where she sits.
That's the Publix by my house.
Yeah, which makes it even better.
I go to the gym. Both of her sons listen. They're both big Falcons fans. And I know both of them from the gym I work out at. Yeah. And Miss Pearl is there.
Yes.
I messaged Miss Pearl because she's messaged with me on Instagram before. And I was like, I'm just so heartbroken. And she was like, no, that was the only part that was on video. I said other stuff good. She's like, and then she asked me how to get a t-shirt and what to smoke. So I need to respond to her because I'm still a little upset with her.
Yeah.
She's kind of broke my heart.
Anyways, man, I want to give a shout out to Miss Pearl. There's no doubt about it. And it was such a cool weekend. And I think the fact that he was stopping at Publix on the way to pick up whatever we needed kind of says a lot about the crew we had with us. But such a blast down at Echo Park Speedway. And Miss Pearl, obviously, holding the fort down up there in Woodstock at the Publix, man. We appreciate you.
I don't want to call anybody out. But what do you think? Who do you think had the most burgers after the race?
Me. 1,000%.
I didn't
eat anything before the race.
I didn't
all.
Either. Yeah, I had a little bit of the country style ribs.
I had one bite of country style ribs. I had nothing for lunch. And by the time we got back from the race, I didn't eat anything at the race. By the time we got back from the race, yeah. I was like, dude, whatever is going on that grill is about to go down.
Well, you and I did the version, like, we held our own with the burger eating because I had just two regular burgers, which for me, like, you know, a lot of bread and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna put that number out there that you had?
I think I had three, and a couple of them were doubles. Yeah. Those patties were about this big.
I know, they were smash burgers, yeah. So that's not really that.
They look like sausage patties.
But somebody was like, Mike had like three of the doubles. I was like.
Yeah, I went down.
When? I didn't even see that.
I didn't eat all day.
I know, man. I was starving.
It was a bad decision.
That Blackstone came in handy.
Which y'all can imagine what that looked like.
Well, it was clearly quite a weekend. Coming up, we've got the wake-up call. This is where you get to weigh in on the show, 404-726-0929. Let's stay on the theme with bars. I like it. What would your bar be named if you had one? Also, was Michael Penix ranked too low on the NFC South QB list? Any opinions on where Ronald Acuna should hit? I know it is heavily debated in this studio, so feel free to call in. Give us your opinion, 404-726-0929. Also on Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.